From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come past the 16th. It's Curvin! Curvin, Brian Hernandez Jr. for Joe Sharp. And Curvin has won the TwinSpires.com Louisiana Derby.
With the lead, it's Practical Joke, but Gunavera over the top is on to the front now. Three rules, battles on Gamely. These three well clear of the others, but it will be Gunavera and Javier Castellano moving clear. Gunavera for local trainer Antonio Sano romps in the Fountain of Youth.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Thunderstone trying to raise another effort. Epicharis in front. Thunderstone lunges again. And I think one in the last possible gaps.
Irish War cries in front because they come to the final 16th. Battalion Runner's not going with him. Then comes Cloud Computing down to the line. Irish War Cry has won the Wood Memorial.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, with you again for the next 2 hours here this morning. We're back with you this afternoon for 2 hours. We'll tell you more about that in just a few minutes. Just 14 days, 10 hours, 32 minutes, and 30 seconds away from the Run for the Roses at Churchill Downs on Saturday, May 6th. Of course, we'll be there with all your Derby coverage for you here on HRRN. But the news of the day, not taking place in Louisville, Kentucky. It is indeed taking place 566 miles to the northeast in Charlestown, West Virginia. That's right, the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic coming up later today, 5:35 Eastern Time is the post, and we're going to have it for you this afternoon. Our coverage begins 4 o'clock Eastern Time. JT, here we go. For the sixth consecutive year, we open the program on Charlestown Classic morning, and we do it from the press box here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Yeah, it's kind of a gray day here at Charlestown, a little drizzle, but nice to be back. It's always a fun spot on the tour. They do such a great job here at Charlestown. Beautiful casino and fantastic racing. It's already been a pleasure to be here, and now we've got the big race to look forward to this afternoon.
Yeah, in honor of the late Pete Coolis, Battleship Gray Skies, and the mountains, which are typically easy to see from the press box, are actually a bit blurry here today because you have that cloud cover. It's kind of a low cloud cover that drapes across the top of those hillsides that you can see from the press box. And then we're looking straight out at the tote board, which has that Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races logo. We're directly above the finish line. The horses are on the track now. You mentioned it being a little drizzly. It's just that kind of day. The temperatures are only in the low 50s. Going to get a bit warmer as we move throughout the afternoon, but the rain is going to continue to fall. As a matter of fact, the rain chances increase as we move throughout the afternoon, so it's more than likely going to be a wet racetrack when we make it to the Charlestown Classic later today.
Yeah, absolutely, but they do a great job here. They work a lot on the track. Yesterday, they were adding material to the track and spent all afternoon doing it, so we're expecting a good, safe racing surface for this afternoon's races.
And when you think about what we're going to see in the Classic, you think about an eight-horse field and the defending champion, Stanford, returning for trainer Todd Pletcher. And what can you say about Todd? Not only does he win races all over the country, he wins them in bunches when he comes here to Charlestown, too. Last year, he became just the second trainer ever to win two runnings of the Charlestown Classic. He joined perennial leading trainer here at Charlestown, Jeff Runco, seeking his third Charlestown Classic win later today.
Yeah, well, Stanford is a very talented horse. He won the race last year, so he's the defending champion. He's coming off a nice victory at Tampa Bay, and you know, he's a horse that likes the track, has good tactical speed, can get the distance. Lots of things to like about Stanford. And then you got a Hall of Fame jockey, John Velasquez, to pilot him. So all things considered, looks like it's a big go and probably a heavy favorite.
And interesting that Johnny was not aboard for the win last year here at Charlestown. That was Javier Castellano. Javier is going to be aboard the 2014 Charlestown Classic winner, Imperative, who becomes the first horse to compete in the race four times when he goes to the post later today.
Yeah, he's a horse that you can't leave out. He's won $1,342,000 here at Charleston.
Yeah, how about that? He's earned 2.2 in his career.
Yeah.
$1.3 million coming right here at Charleston this race.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he absolutely belongs, and Javier's got the mount on him. I don't think it was any knock on Javier that he's not riding Stanford, but Johnny ended up riding him in his last three starts and won two of them, so he's just sticking with the horse. And Javier's got a nice mount with Imperative. He likes the track. He's won a couple races in his last four starts, and so definitely a big chance there.
And you're going to hear from Imperative's trainer, Bob Hash Jr., coming up after our first break in, just about 7 or 8 minutes from right now. Bob took the red eye in, just landed, and is making his way over to Charlestown as we speak. So he's going to join us from the rental car on his way across to Charlestown from the airport. So looking forward to that visit in a few minutes. Ron Pellucci is going to be with us at 8:35 Eastern. Ron is the owner of Imperative. He also owns War Story and the outside horse, Cautious Giant, in today's Charlestown Classic. So you'll hear Ron talking about each of those horses. And he makes it very clear in the interview that you're going to hear that he feels one of his three is significantly better suited to win today's Classic than the others, and it may not be the one that you think. So stay tuned for that interview at 8:35. Good stuff from Ron Pellucci. Jason Service will be with us at 9 o'clock Eastern. Jason getting ready to send out New Jersey bred Sunny Ridge in this afternoon's Classic. A lot of people thinking that he may be the potential upsetter, although he won't be a big long shot. He is one that could certainly make his presence felt in the stretch. Eric Zimney will be with us toward the end of the program at 9:25 Eastern. Eric, of course, the Vice President of Racing Operations here at Charlestown. And then at the end of the show, we'll take you down the road to the Kentucky Derby presented by Gainsway. Some good stuff from trainer Mark Cassie, looking back on Classic Empire's victory in the Arkansas Derby last week and looking ahead to the Kentucky Derby 2 weeks from today.
Yeah, what an impressive performance that was for Classic Empire. Great training job, and looking forward to that interview with Mark.
Is the Kentucky Derby really just 2 weeks away?
That's what you said at the beginning of the show, so I have to believe you.
Yeah, hard. I've been telling you every week.
I know, but you know, we started 360 days, 27 hours, 32 seconds. So it's been a long road since last year's Kentucky
Derby. I considered opening with the countdown to the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah. Well,
and you would sound a little bit like Allen Iverson. Practice. Yeah. Breeders' Cup. Talking about Breeders' Cup.
Yeah. We got to get by the Belmont before we start talking about the Breeders'.
We have to get by the Charlestown Classic first.
Yeah, well, baby steps.
Think about that. This is kind of a weekend where you don't have those big derby preps, right? So all the preparations for the Kentucky Derby are finished. So now we take a weekend and we focus on the older horse division. And in terms of this division, Jude, it's Arrowgate and everybody else, and maybe the only horse that even has an opportunity, at least at this point, to challenge Arrowgate on the racetrack would be Gunrunner, and he's obviously not here in this race either.
Yeah, well, Gunrunner has really developed into a nice horse. Steve Asmussen's done a masterful job. He took him through the Triple Crown, and he came out unscathed, and you know, he looks like he's a major force wherever Arrowgate doesn't show up. The nice thing for Gunrunner is Arrowgate doesn't run all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Gunrunner's going to be a big player this year, and looking forward to that matchup if everybody stays in one piece for the Breeders' Cup Classic at Del Mar.
How do you view the older horse division this year with the defection of California Chrome, who is now retired? I mentioned Arrowgate kind of taking over the top spot. Gunrunner certainly right there. How do you view the older horse division?
Yeah, Dortmund's gone now too.
Yeah.
I just think you're 100% correct, and it's Arrowgate and everybody else. I mean, he's arguably the greatest horse in the world, certainly the best horse in North America. And, you know, I think after him, Gunrunner is pretty much another 5-6 links in front of the competition. I think it's one of those spread out fields that you see sometimes during the races. You got a big horse that's super talented. You got another horse that's talented but not as good probably as Arrowgate, and then everybody else that's trying to fall into line. I mean, you take a horse like Stanford, who's a very good horse and you know, very competitive almost everywhere he goes, and he's probably, you know, 2 or 3 links behind.
Yeah.
Gunrunner. So it's a spread out field, and we'll see what happens, you know, the rest of the year. Things change, you know, instantly in racing. So, but I think that's the way it looks right now.
Well, again, post time for the Charlestown Classic is 5:35 Eastern. We'll start our coverage at 4 o'clock Eastern time, and we'll bring you coverage of a couple of really nice stakes on the undercard preceding that Classic. And then, of course, the Classic at, as I said, 5:35. You'll be able to tune in Sirius XM 93 and worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. So make sure you join us later today and stay with us right up until 10 o'clock Eastern. An awful lot of things still to get to on the Equine Forum. We'll do it all next. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina Spring Stallion Point of Entry, boasting 5 Grade 1 victories, more than any other first crop stallion.
Oh, the classy Point of Entry would not be denied.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths.
Point of Entry has defeated Animal Kingdom.
And here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
A son of the great Dynaformer and from a remarkable female family, Point of Entry's first 4 dams are Grade 1 winners and or Grade 1 producers. His progeny are the subject of excellent reports from the U.S., England, and Japan, with his first crop 2-year-olds recording the fastest breeze times of any first crop stallion and selling for an average of over $358,000. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs. Visit adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
Protect your horse and perform your best with Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Flair strips are drug-free, self-adhesive nasal strips that are proven to reduce bleeding and provide benefits for horses at all levels. Designed by equine veterinarians and constructed from FDA-approved human medical-grade materials, Flair strips are used around the globe and are scientifically proven to make breathing easier, reduce fatigue, reduce lung bleeding, and help horses recover quicker. Visit FlairStrips.com to learn more or to find a dealer near you. Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Prevent, protect, perform.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their 3-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Imperative not picking it up well enough, but will soon be into fifth. Still has work to do as Stanford and Javier Castellano will come to the top of the stretch in front of the Charlestown Classic. Paige McKinney to confront him, and Donworth all out down the outside trying to get to Stanford. A 16th of a mile left to go, and Todd Pletcher and Javier Castellano will strike again. They win the Charlestown Classic, this time with Stanford. Stanford takes the Charlestown Classic over Imperative. That was Paige McKinney in second, Donworth and Imperative.
As Charlestown announcer Paul Espinoza with the call of last year's running of the Charlestown Classic, Stanford getting the victory for Todd Pletcher and Javier Castellano that afternoon. He's back in action later today in this year's running. 5:35 Eastern is the post. Stanford breaking from post position number one. Javier not aboard. That's going to be John Velasquez later today. And we'll see if Stanford can successfully defend that title. Again, our coverage coming your way 4 o'clock Eastern time here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Welcome back, Mike Pennett, Jude Feld. We are indeed live from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races for the sixth consecutive year, broadcasting from above the finish line here in the press box. And Jude, if Stanford is going to win this race today, he's going to have to work for it, because there are some others in here that can really run, including the 2014 winner of this race, Imperative.
Yeah, Imperative is a horse that likes this track, and he's been very successful here. He's actually been running very well, too, so... there's several horses in this race that have a chance, but Imperative is right up there with the top competition.
He makes his fourth appearance in the Charlestown Classic later today, and he does it for his third different trainer. That trainer this year is Bob Hess Jr., who joins us here on the Equine Forum now. We mentioned he is driving from the airport to the races as we speak. Bob, welcome, my friend. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, guys. Good to be on with you.
Yeah, happy to have you on board, and looking forward to seeing Imperative do his thing. You were supposed to be here yesterday, but you just got off the red eye, and here you are making your way to Charlestown. I thought jockeys had kind of a crazy schedule.
It's actually a pretty drive. I'm enjoying it, and the flight wasn't bad at all.
Is this your first trip to Charlestown?
Absolutely. But so far, so good. It's not even not that wet either, thank God.
Yeah, we've only had a little bit of drizzle. It was so beautiful the last 2 days, and this wasn't a total surprise, but the track's in great shape. I think you'll be happy with it when you get here. And it is a pretty drive driving into Charlestown, so really a nice little spot.
I'm looking forward to it.
Bob, let's talk about Imperative. You've had him for a couple of starts, and he's done well for you. He comes out of that ninth-place finish in the Santa Anita Handicap, and you had said afterwards that he lost a shoe. Maybe that affected his performance that day. Talk to me about Imperative and what you've seen in those couple of starts that you've had him.
He really seemed to blossom when we got him down to Gulfstream, training over that sandy, kind of deeper sort of track there. And we've seen the same with him in the last couple of weeks. We moved him after the big cap. We moved him over to Keeneland and trained him on the synthetic training track, and then worked him over the main track twice, and Javier was able to work him in his last work and liked ours quite a bit, actually.
What have you seen that maybe is a little bit different in Imperative, not just from the time that you've gotten him, but from the big cap to where he is today coming into the Classic?
Really, I won't say that he was bad for his last race, but his hair coat, his weight, the color in his hair, and even the vibrance in his eye is all very much like it was in Florida, as opposed to his last race, where he just wasn't as sharp, I didn't think, and then he lost that shoe leaving the gate. And his one little Achilles heel is he does bruise his hooves easily, especially the left front, and that's the one he lost.
Yeah, that's always a tough thing when a horse has foot issues, and especially at Santa Anita, where the track can be a little hard sometimes. You know, I thought he was a standout on the day in Florida when he won the Poseidon. He looked so great on the racetrack, and I got to say, I had a few shekels on him. I was quite proud of you for that training job. It's amazing. This horse, he's kind of like a he's kind of like an in and outer. You never know who's going to show up, but on his best day, he can beat pretty much anybody.
You know, I was DeZormo's ridden him a bunch of friends, and even he, I asked him because he knows the horse pretty well. I said, "What do you attribute that to?" And he just said the horse is just quirky and a little mental and temperamental, but I really feel that his attitude is great going into today's race, and that he'll show up with his A-plus race.
Bob, how long does it take a trainer to get to know a horse when they first come into their barn?
This horse, we were probably still getting to know him even after the Poseidon. We only had him about 3 weeks, and he's relatively straightforward. He's a little tough to gallop. He has some foot issues and some back issues. But overall, he's a really happy, young 7-year-old. He loves his job, and he just wants to go out there and please you if he's feeling in top form.
You know that a lot of older horses, they have their favorite racetracks, and they can perk up when they get to a location like we used to see in Del Mar all the time. And I think Imperative coming here, he just feels comfortable here for some reason. And he enjoys being in West Virginia.
My guy sent me a video of him schooling 2 days ago in the paddock. And, man, he looked like he thought he was a man. He had his head up, and he looked real proud to be back at the track at Charlestown.
Bob, people might not realize that you are a graduate of Stanford, and now you have to face off with the likely favorite by the name of Stanford in today's Charlestown Classic. You can't get beat by a horse named after your alma mater, can you?
We better not. I got a call from a buddy that I haven't talked to since we won the DeFrancis Dash in 03, and he lives in this area, and he's a Stanford grad of 87 like I am, and he's driving up to go to the races. So I think the only time we've ever been at the track was at Laurel together, that is, in the fall of 03, and my friend Jim Harrison, he's a owner in this neck of the woods, and he's going to be driving up and going to the races and bringing his luck to defeat Stanford, I hope.
That's cool. It's great when your friends come out and enjoy the day with you. That'll be fun.
Bob, you're going to have an awful lot of people that just heard that comment that you went to Stanford and now are training horses for a living, and they're going to say, well, why on earth, when he could probably do anything else that he wants to do, why would he choose to be a horse trainer as his profession? So why did you choose this profession?
Well, my parents always said do what you love, and since a little kid, I always want to just hang out with my dad at the track. He's still picking. He has about 15 in Northern California. He'll be 83 this fall. And he's up 7 days a week working hard and loves what he does, and I love what I do. I mean, you can't beat it, really, working with horses, outdoors, and great people. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, your dad's always been one of the top trainers in Northern California, and it's a good situation for you if you need to ship up there. You got all the comforts of home.
Absolutely. Home away from home, and the horses enjoy it. That's a nice little place up at Golden Gate Fields, actually.
Yeah, it's a great place and a great place here in West Virginia, too. And I know, as you said earlier, this is your first time coming here. I think you're really going to enjoy it, Bob. And all the best later on tonight. We can't thank you enough for taking a few minutes to spend with us on your drive here to Charlestown this morning. And look forward to seeing you when you get over here. Drive careful.
All right, guys. Mike, Jude, good to hear your voices. Talk to you soon.
All right, Bob Hess Jr. with us here on HRRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, Bob is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Think about that, right? The guy goes to Stanford. Obviously, he's no dummy, right? Very smart guy.
I'm sure the school appreciates your honesty.
Well, I did not get into Stanford, in case you're wondering.
Did you apply?
No, are you kidding me?
Well, there you go. You got to apply.
Why would I do that? I couldn't even get into. I barely got into North Adams State.
You were busy playing baseball.
Yeah, I had to squeak in there. Yeah, I wasn't going to play baseball at Stanford either. I can tell you that.
Probably not.
Whole nother level. But think about that. So here he is now as a racehorse trainer, doing what he loves, as he said, and he has an opportunity now to add the Charlestown Classic to a resume that, when you look at Bob Hess and the races that he's won, it's an impressive resume.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's won a lot of big races. He's a very talented trainer. He's, as you said, a very smart guy. And, you know, there's been a few trainers that graduated from Stanford. Eddie Gregson comes to mind. Mm-hmm. He won the Kentucky Derby. So, you know, but Bob's dad, really a stalwart in Northern California for many, many years. And you know, Bob grew up on the track, and he loves it like his father does. And there's no reason not to utilize your education training horses, and he's been very successful.
I found it interesting that after that somewhat debacle in the Big Cap where he finishes ninth, beaten 22 lengths, he brings Imperative to Keeneland to train on the synthetic. And you heard him talk about the sensitivity that he has in his heels. And, of course, he lost a shoe in the Big Cap, so that didn't help. So he brings him to the artificial surface. Interesting move, and I think could turn out to be a really, really good move for Imperative.
Well, I've said for many years that the training track at Keeneland is one of the best surfaces to train a horse on in the country. And you find that at certain tracks. The old training track at Hollywood Park was awesome to mm-hmm. train horses on. It had just a very kind surface, and I used to use it a lot, a little trick I learned from Bobby Frankel back in the day. And, you know, it's a smart move. We've seen a lot of people bring their Derby horses to Keeneland because of that synthetic track. They can train even in bad weather. So Bob, you know, being an intelligent guy, thoughtful about his horses, figured that might be the thing to do, and we'll see how it works.
Well, speaking of Derby, Jude mentions Derby horses. You're going to hear more about all the Derby horses right here on HRN as we bring you that exclusive coverage of the 143rd Kentucky Derby. We'll do that in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One. That all comes up Saturday, May 6th. But before we get to that point, you're going to hear nearly 20 hours of Derby Week coverage on site with us. We kick it off on Tuesday, May 2nd, and we go all the way through the Derby on May 6th. You can head to horseracingradio.net and check out a complete Derby Week schedule. Going to be a lot of fun, and we are happy to bring it your way here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When we return, you're going to hear from owner Ron Pellucci, Luch Racing. You're going to hear from him as he talks about his three contenders in this year's Charlestown Classic. That's all ahead right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On October 27, 1974, at Woodbine in suburban Toronto, Canada, the 37th running of the Canadian International Championship Stakes over the testing distance of 13 furlongs was the feature race on the card. There were better than 25,000 fans on hand in typically resplendent autumn weather, with the foliage appearing as though Mother Nature had reached down with tender tendrils to paint the countryside in the splendiferous golden hues of the season. There was a young lady in the field who had already chalked up stakes scores in four different countries and was bidding to become the very first ever to have won stakes in five different countries. She was an elegant, lovely, statuesque young lady who simply exuded class, looked every bit the part, and she was a Kentucky bred. She was by Vaguely Noble out of Charming Alibi by Honey's Alibi and was racing in the silks of Nelson Bunker Hunt. She had won the Prix Yacoulef in France at two. At three, she had scored in the Irish Guinness Oaks, the King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Stakes in England, and the Prix Saint-Hilaire, the Prix de la Grotte, and the Prix Niais in France. And further, she had humiliated an outstanding field of international runners in the Washington, D.C. International, an invitational at Laurel Park in Maryland. At four, her age at the time of the event being recapitulated, she had won stakes in three countries, the Grand Prix de la Saint-Cloud in France, the King George and Queen Elizabeth Stakes, and the Benson and Hedges Gold Cup in England, and the Man of War Stakes right here in America. She was already a thoroughbred millionairess, and this race, if she won it, would add another $91,000 plus to her already most imposing bankroll. She went postwards in this race at odds on, 85 cents to the dollar. Her bevy of backers were not the least bit disappointed with her effort this day. On a firm grass course, she toted her 123-pound impost to front-running fractions of 47-1 for a half, 137-3 for a mile, and a final time of 2:40 for the 1 5/8 miles, while winning with veritable ease. She had in the process clipped a full second off the course record for the distance set by X in 1963, and she went the distance in 1 4/5 seconds faster than Secretariat had done just the year before in his winning effort. She had become the world's leading money-winning distaffer and had pulled off something never done before in the entire illustrious annals of thoroughbred racing history. She won stakes races in 5 different countries: England, Ireland, France, America, and now Canada. She did have a nemesis, a la Noor to Citation, or a firm to Aladar. That horse was named Ale France. The latter defeated our subject for this piece on all 6 occasions when they met over 3 racing seasons. Her lifetime statistics, 12 wins and 23 trips to the post, with composite earnings of better than $1,200,000, this classy lassie who personified elegance, grace, poise, and stature on the racetrack, who firmly planted her hoofmarks in the pages of Cronald racing history with capital letters and capped off a marvelous career with that win at Woodbine, October 27, 1974, was the great Dahlia.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Hey, it's almost Mother's Day, and you know what? Your mom deserves more than a phone call or flowers or a card. Those are great. But a meal at Tony's Steaks and Seafood where your mom will feel pampered, well, that's even better. They're open from 4 to 9 on Mother's Day. Go to TonySteaksandSeafood.com to make a reservation. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right at Triangle Park at 401 West Main Street. It's your mom. Come on. Make her feel great.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A 6-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
But Tapazar is just plain too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway Stallion Tapazar is a Grade 1 winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of Champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only Grade 1 winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10.5 lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade
Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
I think, in general, speed does well at Charlestown. Of course, there's a lot of speed in the race with Stanford. But Matkin Cole is pretty handy. He's got a lot of early speed himself. Frankly, it'll be a jockey's race to figure out who's on the lead, who's sitting second or third. One thing about Matkin Cole, he corners well. He has a tendency to lug in just a little bit, and that may be an advantage versus, bugging out. So we're hoping for the best.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Barron and Pontiff, back with you on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, live from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races, getting you set for the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic coming up tonight at 5:35 Eastern. That soundbite coming out of the break, trainer Linda Rice, who sends out Matkin Cole in today's Classic. And, Jude, one thing she mentioned, not just that speed does well at Charlestown. Keep in mind, this is a very unique configuration. They call it a bull ring type of racetrack, where it's a small racetrack. You turn into the stretch, you don't have very long to make up ground before you hit the finish line. But one thing she said is that he corners well. And it seems like every year now we sit here and we talk about what it takes to do well on a bull ring. And you've always talked about running the turns and taking those corners. That is critical if you're going to have success here.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to have a horse that's athletic and a horse that's an easy lead switcher. And you've got to have horses that do have a little bit of speed. The great California trainer, Jerry Fanning, he taught me that you either want to be on the lead or dead last when you ride a bull ring.
Really?
Yeah. You don't want, if you have a horse that has a modicum of speed, sometimes you can get hung out wide or whatever, if you send. So you want to either assert yourself leaving the gate and be up front, or just take it easy and find a position and then make your run from there.
So if that's the case, up front or dead last, let's assume that's the scenario, that the winning scenario for this afternoon's Charlestown Classic. Stanford has some speed. We know that the outside horse, one of the Pellucci runners, Cautious Giant, is stretching out past a mile for the first time. You expect him to be in here, some people said, as a rabbit, but certainly to keep the pace honest on the front end. And then Matkin Cole has some early speed, too. Where do we see this pace scenario going in today's Classic?
Well, I think Linda actually touched on that. It's going to be kind of a rider's race. And if Cautious Giant is in there as a rabbit, he's going to go. Stanford can make the lead, and he's good when he's on the lead. He doesn't necessarily need the lead, I don't think. He could sit in a garden trip. Matkin Cole, basically one way to go. His races are always run on the front end. So you're going to see those three horses, I think, fighting it out, and then a horse like Sunny Ridge maybe getting the perfect suck-along trip behind an Imperative coming late. It's a wide-open race, and I think that's what makes it so good this year. Sometimes you get the Charlestown Classic has a standout horse like a Game on Dude or whatever.
Yep.
But today it's pretty much anybody's race.
Three of the eight contenders in this afternoon's Charlestown Classic are owned by Ron Pellucci and Luch Racing. And yesterday Ron joined Anthony Stabile on our Express Bet Radio program, and he talked about his runners, and he actually previewed all three, but he said there's one of the three that he feels is the horse to beat, and it's probably not the one that you think. Here's what Ron had to say.
We'll get right to it, Ron. Three in that Charlestown Classic tomorrow, including a horse who back in 2014, Imperative, got the money. He has run in three consecutive Charlestown Classics. Tomorrow will be number four, fourth last year behind defending champ Stanford.
Yeah. Obviously, being a guy that really plays every track every day, I had that, I had him actually when Kent won and beat a Game on Dude when Game on Dude went head to head with another horse. I couldn't remember, but they sizzled it up front and Kent won the race, and it looked like it might fit up that way. And I had him, and I've been a fan of the horse ever since. And I definitely had that race in mind when I purchased him for the Poseidon, and we're happy he's coming into the race really good, and we've got Javier Castellano, so can't do much better than that.
$2.2 million in earnings in his career. $1.34 million and change have come in this race in his three starts in the Classic.
Right, but the thing I care about is the $240,000 from the Poseidon. that's the only money I've gotten from him, plus what we wagered on him to win, which was a very healthy win wager. You know, the thing about horses, and I know you guys both on the panel, one was a rider and Big A, you watch a lot of races. He threw both front shoes in his last race coming out of the gate, and I just knew when he was coming out of the gate, he didn't have that same zip as he had at Gulfstream, which I immediately called Bob after the race and asked him what happened, make sure the horse was okay. And he's like, well, he threw both front shoes coming out of the gate. So he doesn't love Santa Anita racing surfaces, but I think that's, you know, that you can attribute the ninth beat in 22 to that. And Gallardo felt something up front. And he really never pushed him in that race. He kind of took care of him, which was the right thing to do.
Absolutely. What made you buy him? Were you thinking, Ron, about this race?
Yeah, well, I had the deal done with Dan Schaefer for the Pegasus for War Story, and the way that they had it structured, you know, we really needed to have a backup for the Pegasus, and you know, I wanted to be a part of that race and wanted to try to win it in its inaugural race, and so I had about 12 horses that I had in mind to try to buy as a backup, and he was one of them, and he was like third on my list. The first two didn't pass the vet, and so I ended up with him. And the problem was when I was going after to try to buy him, he was on the farm. He had just come off the farm. Wasn't sure if physically he was going to be able to make it to the race. And, you know, we found out a lot that's kind of how he needs to be trained anyway. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise.
He duked it out that day with defending champion of the Charlestown Classic, Stanford. So two winners of this race, which is just being run for the ninth time, going to hook up tomorrow afternoon, 5:35 post. You'll hear it right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I assume you'll be there tomorrow in your lime green splendor.
Yeah, it won't be a suit. I'm a T-shirt and jeans kind of guy, or T-shirt and you know, it depends on how my weight situation is. When my weight situation's up, I like the sweatpants. When it's down, I like the jeans. So tomorrow we'll be in the sweatpants. We've been doing some, some fine eating on the West Coast, and we need to drop a few pounds. But, you know, we'll be there cheering our horse on. But, you know, my tip to everybody would be to play War Story in this race. I really believe that with the way the race sets up, I think he's going to get first run on Imperative and Sunny Ridge, and he coming into the Pegasus, he was training really good, and we really pushed him to make that race, and he was very flat last time, and we kind of knew he was flat. That's why we put him in an easier spot, but he has trained better than he has going into the Pegasus, and there's going to be some moisture in the track. He's 2 for 2, and obviously, I don't really care who wins. I own a little bit more of a percentage in Imperative, but just to win the race would be great. But at the value and the price, War Story is my play. I mean, you're always worried about the tight turns first time they've gone around it. But, you know, I've watched this horse train since I bought him in his second start. And his three-year-old year, he fought through so many physical issues. I mean, we couldn't find anything wrong, but we knew something was wrong. We finally got him healthy going into the Queens County. I told everybody he was going to be on the lead and go to the lead. I told everybody a long time his horse had a lot of speed. It's just, you know, when you're riding, if the horse is kind of hurting behind, mm-hmm. they don't get that push off out of the gate. And so he never showed that speed until, you know, we gave him the 8 months off, and we couldn't find what was wrong, but we just knew the time would heal it. But no, I honestly, with him, I'm really not worried about it. He's very good on the turns. The only thing that concerns me in the race is going to be the track condition. You know, it's supposed to be kind of sloppy, which I think favors War Story and doesn't really favor Imperative. I'm honestly and truly, Stanford's a pitch for me in that race. I think Sunny Ridge is the horse I most fear other than my two. I don't think with the design of the race, with the pressure that we're going to implore on Stanford, that he's going to be able to stand it. And if he takes back, I think that's even worse for him. So, you know, we beat Stanford heads up on his track on Todd Pletcher's home field, which is like going into Notre Dame and trying to beat them, you know, with their referee. So I don't really think that we're going to have a problem beating him. But Sonny Ridge is really coming around, and he's a nice horse, and definitely the one I wish wasn't in the race.
Talking what owner Ron Pellucci runs under Luch Racing, he's got three in the Charlestown Classic tomorrow. Ron, you mentioned putting some pressure on Stanford, the defending champion here tomorrow. You got three. Cautious Giant is a horse you just claimed out of a turf sprint at the Great Race Play Center. Anita, Jeffrey Radosevich. And Jake's gonna ride. Is he gonna be the one to go out there and keep Stanford honest on the front end, or will it be War Story?
Well, the break's gonna have a lot to do with it. We're definitely going to, you know, and let's not forget. I mean, Cautious Giant just lost a dirty nose bob to a horse that at one point might have been one of the top three favorites in the Derby. Came back and was the fourth favorite in the Maker's Mark Mile, which was probably the best grass race of the year so far, as far as depth. You know, he's finished a length behind Kobe's Back. He's finished second in a grade two. I mean, this horse has got some quality. He's not your average rabbit. I mean, if he makes a lead, who knows? He may not stop. I mean, he's definitely going to be the pressure. But if something happens and War Story catches a flyer out of there, I mean, if he makes a lead, I don't think they'll beat that horse. But I don't see him with Matt King, Cole, and Stanford and Cautious Giant being as quick as those. And, you know, Jacob has explicit instructions. And Jacob has ridden that track a lot. I think as an apprentice, he was a leading rider there. So he knows the turns. And we're definitely, you know, Matt King, Cole's a fast horse, too. I mean, the one thing about Stanford is, you know, he equaled the track record or broke the track record of Tampa last time, but time to me doesn't mean anything. Visually, I did not like the way the horse was coming down the lane. He was very rank. So I think that's why I think he's in a tough spot. If he goes, he's going to get as much pressure as we can apply on him. If he doesn't and he takes back, I don't think that's his trip. So, I mean, I really think it sets it up for Sonny Ridge Imperative or War Story. But yeah, to answer your question, Big A, Jacob's I want him on the lead, not even just as much to torture Stanford, but I think that's how the horse has the best chance to win. And I mean, you know, he's run some big numbers that if he ever runs back to those numbers, even his last number, if he runs a 99 or a 98 buyer, that might be good enough to win this race.
All right, that's owner Ron Pellucci, Luch Racing Stables, with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and Christina McManigal on our Express Bet radio program yesterday afternoon. You think he's confident coming into this race?
Well, I don't know what to make of it. After he disparaged the NCAA officials, which does not reflect the views of this station, I kind of go, wow. Interesting. We know for sure that the outside horse is the rabbit, so he'll be blasting off.
That was kind of an owner's version of smack talk.
Yeah, a lot of beat
Todd Pletcher on his home track.
Yeah, right.
You're calling out Todd Pletcher now. Be a little careful what you wish for, right?
Yeah. And then
you mess with the bull, you get the horns.
They're gonna torture Stanford. I don't think. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I do think he's right about one thing. He talks about Stanford, and maybe if he takes back and tries not to get, and we talked about this earlier with so much speed in here, tries not to get hooked in a speed duel, let's say, on the front end, especially with a horse like Cautious Giant, who, as you heard Pellucci say, they want to be on the lead. If he takes back, that's probably not the best scenario for Stanford, right? He wants to be out there.
Stanford's not taking
He wants to be up close, right? Especially from the rail. He has to go.
Well, Johnny's going to send him out of there.
Right.
And if the other horse blasts off, Johnny's going to move up and be second. To him, and that's fine. Stanford's won from that position before. And so I think actually having the rabbit in the race helps Stanford. I don't think it hurts him, because Stanford now will be able to get a nice, easy trip behind a horse that's going as fast as a horse can go.
Yep.
And then Johnny will get first run on the field, and good luck to him after that. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how it sets up. But
and Pellucci also saying that he feels as if War Story is the one that he would bet on, the one of his three that he would bet on. He thinks War Story could be the one to beat because he gets first jump on Imperative going after a horse like Stanford. You look at War Story, Jude, and his just looking at his PPs, it's not very impressive because you see a lot of fifth-place finishes, eighth-place finishes, beaten 13 lengths, beaten 6 lengths, beaten 25 lengths, beaten 22 lengths. But then you look at who he was facing in those races. He was facing the likes of California Chrome and Beholder. He was facing the likes of Arrowgate and Shaman Ghost. Connect, Divining Rod, he has faced some heavy hitters that would be heavy, heavy favorites in this spot today.
Yeah, well, you know, you look at who he's beaten in his career, and I think arguably – you know, Unbridled One and Sunny Ridge, when he
in the Queens County
in the Queens County at Aqueduct, those were two horses. But he won off that day, so I'm guessing that the inner track was favoring speed, and he liked it, and he ran away from the field in there. But his past performances are not very good, and you know, the owner has an affinity for this horse. He loves this horse, and the past performances really don't bear out the love, you know. So I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, that's his pick, but who knows?
We'll find out shortly after 5:35 Eastern. That is post time for the Grade Two Charlestown Classic. Again, if you're just joining us, our coverage begins 4 o'clock Eastern time. You can tune in on Sirius XM 93. That's a different channel than you're listening to right now. Sirius XM 93 and worldwide at horseracingradio.net and see if Ron Pellucci accepts the trophy in his sweatpants later today for a $1.25 million race. How about that?
I will say that was one of the most interesting, if not totally entertaining, interviews that we've ever had on
great
the Equine Forum.
Great sound. That could in some ways rival Ken Ramsey.
Nothing rivals Ken Ramsey. Absolutely nothing.
All right, we're going to get to a break. When we come back, we'll get you set for the second half of the program, and we'll tell you who kicks off the second half. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A 6-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bowl.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and 6 times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
Shackelford. Won or placed in 10 graded stakes.
Shackelford's got the lead. Shackelford Animal Kingdom. Shackelford has
done it.
Won three grade ones.
One throw on the go. Shackleford is still there. They're coming down to the finish. And Shackleford.
115 buyer speed figures.
But the one who's got the courage in faith is Shackleford. He's out in front. Shackleford.
Shackleford. Visit DarbyDan.com.
Three-time graded stakes winning millionaire Ironicus defeated 20 grade one winners. In the Dixie Stakes, he defeated Canadian champion and horse of the year Up With The Birds and set a new course record at Saratoga. Runner-up in the grade one Manhattan and Shadwell Turf Mile, Ironicus ran seven triple-digit buyers, including the Fort Marcy Stakes. Half to four graded stakes winners, Ironicus has the speed, class, and bloodlines to become the next great sire by Distorted Humor. Ironicus at Claiborne Farm.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Sunny Ridge still in hand outside of Vorticity. These two head-to-head quarter mile to go. On the outside, Adventist is put to the whip, racing third. Flexibility is under the whip, down inside fourth as they come off the turn. Sunny Ridge with a narrow lead. Vorticity fighting on. Flexibility comes together with Adventist. They're third and fourth, but they're both closing. One furlong left. Sunny Ridge, tenuous lead. Vorticity fighting on. Flexibility, Adventist third and fourth, down to the wire. Sunny Ridge, Vorticity keeps on fighting, but Sunny Ridge has won it. Sunny Ridge by 3/4 of a length over Vorticity. Adventist was third and Flexibility was fourth.
Sunny Ridge stamped himself as a major player on the road to the Kentucky Derby with that win in last year's Grade 3 Withers. Came back with a fourth place finish in the Grade 3 Gotham at Aqueduct. That was Travis Stone with the call. And today he is going to try to make a little bit of history here in Charlestown, West Virginia, as he goes postward in the Charlestown Classic. The New Jersey-bred son of Holy Bull is trained by Charlestown native Jason Service, who is going to be with us coming up shortly after 9 o'clock Eastern, so just about 5 or 6 minutes from right now, and looking forward to that visit with Jason. You think about what the Service family has meant to this part of the country and what this part of the country has meant to them. Of course, Jason, his brother John, his entire family, all involved in racing from a very young age. Jason's father was a jockey and manager of the Jockeys Guild for about 11 years or so, then a state steward in West Virginia for about 18 years. His mom used to bring the kids here, and they would sit on the hillside out back here at Charlestown, which is positioned right behind the 4.5 furlong chute, and they watch the horses break out of the chute. So, it's a cool story, and Jason, I know, would love to win this race here this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm sure it's always nice to win a race at what you consider your home track, and this is going to bring back memories. Plus, you got 1.25 million reasons to win.
Yeah.
The prestige of this race has grown, and everybody knows the Charlestown Classic now, and a lot of people look forward to it every year, as we do, and be great for him.
We were sending out some statistics throughout the week and on our social media page, at HRN on Twitter, and think about this. The 56 different horses who have started in the Charlestown Classic have combined for 113 greatest stakes wins in their careers, including 30 grade ones. There have been some unbelievable horses to come through this race in the 8 previous runnings.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really fantastic event, and hats off to Eric Zimney, who will be with us later, for developing this into a really important race on the calendar and a race that people point for and look forward to.
And this is a great place to come, too. You can hang out in the casino for a while in the evenings. You can come out here, bet some races, go back in, play a little more craps, go bet some races, go back in, play a little more craps.
If you're a craps player, maybe some people like blackjack, some people like slot machines. But, you know, your schedule is very similar to what you just
did. You and I played craps together last night for a little while. We don't do that very often.
No, usually because my wife is with us, and I let her play, and I'm the decorative blonde.
I wish that your wife was rolling the dice last night instead of you.
Yes, I did not have a good roll last night, but I've had good rolls in the past. So.
The best part was you left the table after you sevened out. You said, that's it, I'm out of here, I'll see you back at the hotel. You left the table. You were out front waiting for the shuttle. My wife, the Baroness, had to run out and get you because you left $20 sitting on the craps table, and they wouldn't give it to me. Right? I said, well, just give it to me. I'll bring it to them. They said, well, sir, we can't hand it to you.
They obviously don't know we're life partners.
I said, well, let it ride. Just let it ride because that's what he would want to do.
That's right.
Let it go. And they wouldn't do that either.
Another combat. Okay. Well, anyway, yes, I was –
just throw it on the hard eight.
Yeah, that's right. The guy that was winning all the money, that's what he was doing.
How about that?
That was crazy. That was the craziest table that I had ever played at.
Within about 5 minutes, his tray was full. Both sides of his tray were full with green chips, which were $25 chips. They were overflowing.
He was broke. He had to go get more money, and he didn't bring that much to the table. And it was all, snake eyes and threes and 12s and box cars.
That table was doing really well until we showed up last night, and then it kind of went the other way.
Well,
there was one good roll.
There was one good roll. We got up for a while, but I always feel like if you can play at a table for an hour on $100,
sure,
you did great.
You did great.
I ended up losing 80, but it was all right. It was fun.
You can get it all back on that $100,000 guaranteed pick four later today here at Charlestown, races 9 through 12. We'll see if we can take down that pick four later today.
That's what I'm good at. That's my
– The pontiff strength. Of the pick four.
The pontiff of the pick four.
You'll be pontificating later today.
I will be. I've already given my ticket to Shona, who is doing the social media for Charlestown.
Yep.
And it will be tweeted out later on.
All right, we're going to get to a quick station ID. Then we'll come back with hour number two. That hour kicks off with trainer Jason Service. And Eric Zimney will be with us as well right around 9:25 Eastern. And then that interview with Mark Cassie that was conducted earlier this week on ExpressBet Radio, you won't want to miss it. Mark was absolutely phenomenal talking about Classic Empire and looking ahead to the Kentucky Derby. Stay with us. Very busy second half of the show is next right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Malagasy has the lead. Untrapped going to try to gun him down on the wire. It's these two. Petrov is third. Malagasy, Untrapped. It is Malagasy to win the Rebel.
Final furlong of the Toyota Bluegrass. IREP with the lead. Practical Joke giving all he's got. IREP. 31-1 wins the Toyota Bluegrass with Julian Leperoux aboard.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Royal Moen Gormley battling strongly. Gormley looming into the lead now. Gormley takes the lead, and Gormley wins the Santa Anita Derby.
Always Dreaming set down for the drive by John Velasquez, and he's moving away. State of Honor is up into second, an impressive edge. Canavera too little, too late, but inside the 16th pole, the 2017 Florida Derby to Todd Pletcher, and Always Dreaming, they won it by four in the end.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, coming to you for the sixth consecutive year live from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races as we get you set for, the older horses in the spotlight later tonight in the Grade Two Charlestown Classic. 5:35 Eastern is the post time for that Grade 2 race and should be a good one. $1.25 million on the line. In case you're wondering about the weather, we are under light gray skies. There have been, well, periods of misty rain throughout the morning, and that forecast is for more rain as we move throughout the afternoon. So likely a wet racetrack for that running of the Charlestown Classic, but it's a good one. Eight horses set to go, including the defending champion Stanford. You throw in the likes of the 2014 Classic winner Imperative. You throw in Sunny Ridge from the barn of Jason Service, and this has the makings for a really, really good Classic.
Yeah, it really is. I was surprised, you know, because when the entries came in, I go, oh, Stanford, he'll win again, you know. And then as I was delving into the race and looking at it some more, this horse has a chance, this horse has a chance, this horse has a chance.
Never discount a Son of Holy Bull. I'm just going to say that right now. Greatest racehorse of all time, and he's going to prove today that he can get a good racehorse too as a sire, because he sends out his son, Sonny Ridge. Jason Service sends out his son, Sonny Ridge, later today, and Jason is with us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jason, appreciate the time, my friend. Thanks so much.
No problem.
Jason, you're a native of this area, Charlestown, and growing up in the shadows of this racetrack, winning this race today, I'd imagine that must be pretty special for you to have that opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Home. I had a lot of friends there. My parents are still there. It's my little sister, Jody, so it's now it'd be exciting. Very exciting.
Will they be here for the race? Are they going to be here for the race today?
Yes. Yes.
Well, let's talk about Sunny Ridge for a minute, because this is a horse that comes into the race in great form, a winner of two stakes races, both of those at Aqueduct. Tell me a little bit about Sunny Ridge and what we can hopefully expect later today.
Well, like what you were saying, we're going to have a muddy track. Is that what you guys are thinking? It's going to be muddy?
Well, it really hasn't rained all that much right now, but they're predicting more rain as the day goes on. So as it gets closer to post time, it could turn that way. They close the track at 9 o'clock, and they're gonna probably seal it. So I don't know how that will affect, but it's been great here all week long. The track's been in fantastic shape. They added material to it yesterday, and we'll see what happens this afternoon. But if they get a lot of rain, it'll be, you know, probably firm on the bottom and a little sloppy on the top.
Which I guess if I had my druthers, I'd probably want to run a muddy track. You know, that horse handles it pretty good, at least at Aqueduct he did. I think he's a relatively young horse. He's only four. You know, we're looking at the next 2, 3, 4 years if he stays sound, and trying to bank some money out with him and have some fun. And these numbers are a little bit lacking, you know, as far as like Todd's horse, but he's a grinder. And we're going to give it a college try.
Well, he actually ran a better speed figure on the Brisnet scale. He ran a 106 last time in the Stymie, and the best figure that Stanford has is his last race when he won at Laurel. He got a 104. So your horse has just developed so nicely over the last few months. I don't know if that's due to Aqueduct or of him just getting better and you doing a great job with him. But I think the inner track configuration, the tighter turns, kind of translates nicely to Charlestown.
Yeah, and he handled Delta well, I thought. He's okay. You know, I'm really looking forward to having like a 5, 6, 7 year old.
Jason, we talked earlier about this racetrack being unique because it's only 6 furlongs, and you just mentioned the tighter turns. What's the key to getting a horse to run well on a racetrack such as this?
You know, I guess a lot of horses don't handle it. I've ridden as a jockey on both. But I guess if you've got the right horse on the right day, it's makes the trainer and the jockey look good. You know, I mean, I don't know if you should read a lot into it, but I'm sure there is definitely something to it. Yeah, I don't know what to say. Like, what would a smaller horse, you know, my horse is a big, lanky horse. You wouldn't think he'd handle him, but he does. So I don't know what to read, you know, as far as what kind of horse would handle that or wouldn't.
I liked your comment about Delta, saying that he handled Delta just fine. That was back in 2015 when he ran in the Grade 3 Delta Jackpot. Now, that race was a mile and a 16th as opposed to the mile and an 8th he'll face later today. But he was second on a muddy racetrack, beaten just a neck by Exaggerator, who, as we know, turned out to be pretty darn good.
Yeah, it's that was a big race. I think he kind of stamped himself there that he was, you know, was okay horse. And I think the Haskell coming off that layoff, he might have gutted him a little bit, and it took him a couple races to get back. At least that's what I'm hoping. You know, but he sure does handle Aqueduct well. He runs, he kind of takes the track with him. He runs good everywhere. The parts race, I kind of guess you got to throw it out. Can't know what to make of that.
Well, the Haskell was a very impressive race over a testy track. The track was really in bad shape that day. And I know it's Mr. Drazen's home track, Monmouth Park, but he ran a big race behind Exaggerator and American Freedom that day, and those are two quality horses. I think that race kind of stamped him as a quality horse himself, and he sure proved it this winter.
Yeah, but he hadn't run in a while, and he kind of laid it all out, and I think he might have knocked him out a little bit. But he seems to be back, and he shipped good, so we're on go.
Talking with trainer Jason Service here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jason, a native of Charlestown, so this race, his home track and his home race, really, it would mean an awful lot for him to pick up the victory. Jason, do you think about that? I mean, would it be something that if you were to win this race, it would be among maybe some of the more rewarding accomplishments in your career?
Definitely. I've never won a $1 million race, almost, Delta, but, you know, and being home at Charlestown, that, yeah, what can I say? Be very happy, ecstatic.
We talked earlier about your upbringing and being raised around the racetrack, your dad, of course, being a jockey and then manager of the Jockeys Guild and a state steward here in West Virginia for all those years, and I know your mother would oftentimes, I remember your brother, John, telling me that your mother would take him here to the races and they would sit on the hillside overlooking the track and watch horses break from the 4.5 furlong chute there and for those races. How about you? What are some of your memories of going to the races here at Charlestown with your family?
That was always fun. In the evening, we go and go behind the gate with my mom and watch the horses break. And watch them come around the turn and hear the jockeys. And my brother and I, you know, we always hustled, walked hots, or somebody needed to move hay or straw. We always worked. Back then, you know, really wasn't licenses and stuff. You know, you could always get kind of something to do. So we were always on the track from when I can remember doing stuff. So it's in our blood. I mean, God. Been a long time.
Did your parents encourage you to pursue this career path and get involved in horse racing?
I don't think so. My dad made me graduate high school, which I was tall for a jockey, so I guess I had to wait, which I got bigger, so I didn't get to have a long career. So I think they try to steer us away from it, but there was no chance.
Yeah, once it gets in your blood, and, of course, when you're raised around the track and you learn about the sport as a kid, I think it sticks with you for life.
Yeah, and being a young kid and having a couple of dollars in your pocket because you're hustling before you go to school is, was, you know, always because everybody's trying to scrape up money for lunch at 35 cents. We always had a couple of dollars in our pocket, so that wasn't bad either.
That's cool.
Well, Jason, you mentioned Stanford, and he's the likely favorite in this afternoon's race. size up the rest of the competition for me. Where do you see this renewal of the Charlestown Classic in terms of the quality of the field and the competition you're going to have to defeat later today?
Well, it sounds like Luke Stable, I guess they're going to give that horse some company on the lead. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. I know you guys talked to him, right?
Yeah, that's what he said.
So, which probably would be good for us. I'm not going to tell Manny too much, you know, thinking like something like that. Maybe let him settle in somewhere and hopefully they'll go quick early. That'd be great.
Jason, I'm supposed to tell you that Mike Campbell from the New Jersey Breeders Association says hello, and that's appropriate because Sonny Ridge is a New Jersey bred, and you think about the role that New Jersey breds have been on lately with Irish War Cry winning the Wood and now Sonny Ridge having so much success and certainly could add to that resume later today in the Charlestown Classic.
Well, first, Mike does a terrific job for the Jersey breeders, and you're right about the Jersey breds. That's really something that they've really kind of come to life. Maybe some politicians are hearing that in New Jersey, and we need help in Jersey. So, but Green Gatto won the Carter, and Graham's horse is, they're all, and not my horse. It's okay.
Yeah, it's a great thing for the state, and I was talking about the beautiful farms in New Jersey. There's not many foals born there every year, but the people that do breed horses, they have beautiful places and they support the sport a lot. And I spent 2 years with Monmouth being my home track, and I have a definite affection for Monmouth Park and the people that race there, and I want to see it last as long as possible.
Yeah, Monmouth's beautiful. Racing I felt was always good there. On the shore, it's just a great meet.
Well, Jason, it could be a great day for you as well if you can pull off this win in the Charlestown Classic at your home track. So want to wish you all the best. Can't thank you enough for spending a little time with us here this morning. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, so we'll get that to you, and we'll look for you in the winner's circle here at Charlestown later today.
Thanks, guys. You do a great job.
Thanks, Jason. Good luck. Jason Service, Sonny Ridge going to the post in the Charlestown Classic later today. Obviously, when you ask him about winning here at his home track, he perks up just a little bit, right? Because this is a special place for him, and it would be a special victory. Not just because it's the Charlestown Classic, but as you heard him say, he's never won a $1 million race either. That doesn't hurt.
No. Well, the money's one thing, but I think, you know, he probably would trade the money for winning the race here, especially you have your whole family here, all your friends. You know, Bob Hess mentioned he's got a friend from Stanford coming in for the race. So it's always great to win a race at your home track when people are around. When I won my first 100 grander, it was at Santa Anita where I had been going since I was 3 years old. So that was one of the huge thrills of my career. And just absolutely a lot of fun when you can share your success with other people.
The rain now picking up just a little bit here at Charlestown, coming down a little bit steadier than what it was throughout the morning. It's been kind of intermittent off and on, and now we are seeing it pick up a little bit. And we told you that the rain is going to continue to fall throughout the afternoon. So if you're handicapping the races here at Charlestown for later this afternoon, keep that in mind. Take a look at those horses that might like a bit of an off track, because you may end up with that as we make our way toward that Charlestown Classic. If you are just tuning in, our coverage of the Classic begins at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Jude and I will be joined by our colleague Dan Mason, and the three of us will take you through 2 hours of coverage, 4 to 6 Eastern Time. And you can listen on Sirius XM Channel 93, and you can tune in worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. We'll get to another break. We'll come back. Eric Zimney, the Vice President of Racing Operations, is set to join us after this next commercial break. Stay tuned. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The Kentucky Derby runs here.
And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
We're proud to be your home for the 143rd Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 6th, only on HRRN.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dre Fung pulls clear of Masochistic Mind Your Biscuits, finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fung's the leader. Dre Fung has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dre Fung that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 Kings Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dre Fung being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillip's first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
New for 2017 at Spendthrift Farm, Brody's Cause, a Grade 1 winner at 2 and 3.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final running time of 143.27 in the Breeders' Futurity was the fastest running on dirt since 2000 while defeating Grade 1 winner Exaggerator by Sire of Sires Giants Causeway and bred just like worldwide leading sire Shamardal. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
Fans, come on out to Santa Anita on Saturday for an action-packed card that will include three stakes, highlighted by the Grade 2 Californian at a mile and one-eighth, the Marathon Grade 3 San Juan Capistrano at a mile and three-quarters on turf, and the $75,000 Misdirection at 6.5 furlongs down the hillside turf course. The Run for the Roses is now just 2 weeks away, so visit our website and make your reservations now for the biggest Kentucky Derby party this side of Louisville here at the Great Race Place on Saturday, May 6th. Santa Anita, Great Racing and great value in a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Lady Eli in front, Dickinson trying, Lady Eli, Dickinson gets up on the outside by a nose for Paco Lopez.
Dickinson, the daughter of Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro, recorded her third consecutive graded stakes win and first Grade 1 victory, defeating heavily favored Lady Eli while taking the Grade 1 Jenny Wiley at Keeneland this past weekend. Now 7-for-14 lifetime and an earner of more than $600,000. Dickinson is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro was ranked among the nation's elite sires once again last year, and Grade 1 Jenny Wiley winner Dickinson became the 18th progeny of Medaglia d'Oro to score a 100-plus buyer since 2015. No other sire has more. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Around the far turn, Mike Smith and Game On Dude, a neck in front.
Now they're joined by Long River, and Imperative is running a big one on the far outside. Imperative has circled up outside of Long River, and Game On Dude and the three of them will turn for home together. Moreno is fourth. Kent DeSormo and Imperative have taken the lead on the outside. Game On Dude is all out. He is back running in second. Moreno is third. In an absolute shocker, Imperative and Kent DeSormo have won the Charlestown Classic. It was Game On Dude second. Moreno was third. And Clubhouse Ride was fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. That's Larry Colmus with the call of the 2014 Charlestown Classic Imperative, springing the upset that afternoon, the biggest upset in the history of the Charlestown Classic, defeating Game On Dude at odds of nearly 27-1. Well, we can tell you Imperative won't be 27-1 when he goes to the post later today in the Charlestown Classic, but he is going to be making his fourth consecutive appearance in the race. And as you heard a couple of times throughout the program, he's a horse that loves it here at Charlestown. We'll see if he can defeat Stanford and everybody else as that race goes at 5:35 Eastern Time. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, we are positioned in the press box above the finish line here at Charlestown, getting you set for that ninth running of the Classic. Eric Zimney is the Vice President of Racing Operations here at Charlestown. We're going to visit with him momentarily right after we bring you your weekly Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Well, here you go. Always Dreaming Pleases Pletcher in Florida Move. That's the headline at bloodhorse.com. Always Dreaming, impressive winner of the April 1st Express Bet Florida Derby at Gulfstream Park, breezed 5 furlongs on April 21st at Palm Beach Downs in 101.40, a move that pleased trainer Todd Pletcher. "I thought it was excellent," said Pletcher, who watched Always Dreaming work alone with jockey John Velasquez aboard. "We were looking for a nice, steady, solid, stamina-building breeze. He was very relaxed, very happy, moving well, and galloped out great. I was very happy. He's been training great, eating well, and his energy level has been good. We're really excited about how he's doing." And that is your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, just head on over to bloodhorse.com. Remember, there is no better way to follow racing, breeding, industry news, and more than anywhere else, you can do it at Blood Horse. There are so many platforms in which they bring it to you. You can visit them at bloodhorse.com. You can check out the Blood Horse Daily app, Blood Horse Magazine, or social media. Follow Blood Horse on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. No one covers thoroughbred racing, breeding, and our sport like Blood Horse. Well, we take a break from that road to the Kentucky Derby this afternoon. We are 14 days, 9 hours, 7 minutes, and 22 seconds away from the Run for the Roses, but a heck of a lot closer to post time for the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic, which is set for 5:35 Eastern time this afternoon. Of course, our coverage kicking off 4 o'clock Eastern, Sirius XM93 and HorseRacingRadio.net. And Eric Zimney, Vice President of Racing Operations, Sir Eric Zimney, as he likes to be called around these parts, is with us now on the Equine Forum. Sir Eric, what's up?
Not much, Dr. Penna. How are you?
Happy Classic Day.
Same to you, sir. Thanks for being here again.
Yeah, it's going to be great. This is the sixth consecutive year we've done this together.
Yeah, I heard you guys saying that earlier in the show. I didn't realize it had been that long. I thought it was just a couple years ago, but six.
It just seems like an eternity.
Yeah, we're kind of a good luck charm for Todd Pletcher because he's won two of the six that we've actually broadcast.
Yeah, bad luck for Jeff Runco then, right? Because he won the first two when you weren't here.
He did. He's been blanked ever since.
Yeah, over ever since.
Yeah. Good field this year. You bring back the defending champ in Stanford, the 2014 winner Imperative. You throw in Sunny Ridge and War Story. Quality field.
Yeah, no, thanks. Like it is. I mean, it's pretty rare in a seven-figure graded stake. You get two former winners who kind of can face off again and try to win the race for a second time. You know, it doesn't happen too often. So you've got that angle. You've got the hometown angle with Jason Service. Mr. Pellucci's got his three horses. I mean, there's some good storylines in the race. So, no, we're happy with the field and hope it, I mean, it'll stay together, of course, but hope people put it through the windows.
Have you ever presented the trophy to somebody for a $1.25 million race in sweatpants?
No, I can honestly say I have not.
You personally wearing sweatpants, but them wearing sweatpants to receive the trophy.
Okay, that's good because I was wearing sweatpants one year. But yeah, no. I can honestly say that would indeed be a first.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a great.
We're referring to the Pelucci interview from the first half of the show, where he said he was going to be wearing sweatpants today
and a T-shirt. And so the T-shirt, that's been a no-go too. I have neither a T-shirt nor sweatpants. So.
Although we did mention that you've been wearing, you know, a suit and tie all week long, and today you're here in shorts and a gingham shirt.
Well, I figure if I'm coming with a California guy like you, you know, you got the Hawaiian shirt on, I have to come in with the.
There you go. Yeah, you're looking very Saratoga-ish.
Very much now. So.
Yeah, I do have a bone to pick, by the way. I was at the craps table the other night,
okay,
which is kind of a frequent stop for me when I come here to Charlestown. And I walked up, in my first trip to the craps table here this year, and I walked up and I was wearing a ball cap, a Steelers ball cap.
That's all right.
And the dealer across the way from me looked at me. The first thing he says, I put my money on the table. I'm waiting for him to get my chips. The first thing he says to me is, "You have some dirt on your hat," right? So I was kind of taken back for a minute, and I'm thinking, well, this is no way to treat a high roller like myself, right? Who's, I mean, throwing down 20.
What, did you smoke a joint before you came over here?
Yeah. So then I said, well, I'm kind of in Steelers country, right? And he said, you're a heck of a lot closer to Ravens country. This is the way I was treated.
You know, we have like 1,300 employees, and it's hard to filter them all out. I've lobbied for a question on the job application to, you know, fill in the blank, who's your football team of choice, but HR hasn't gone for that. Right. So.
Well, that guy should be fired.
He said he was nice.
He turned out to be pretty nice. He kind of backed down a little bit.
Yeah.
Though I appreciate, because I know you told me you want money, that's the overriding image, though, is the guy was a jerk as a Ravens fan versus you walking away with like $100 or something like that. So, yeah.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about the program here today. 13 races. You have all, what, 7 stakes races, and then that $100,000 guaranteed pick 4. So it's a big day on the wagering front, too.
It is. We have all the stakes. We have a couple handicaps, and even I think it's the last race is an open allowance race for statebreds. It's really good, and, you know, full fields there. And, yeah, the $100,000 guaranteed pick 4, it starts in race 9 and runs to race 12. I mean, I'm pretty sure we'll be able to hit the guarantee there. Sequence is pretty good. You know, you have 2 full fields bookending the sequence, and then you have the classic, which is the third leg. So, yeah, wagering-wise, we hope it's a good day. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be.
You know, I threw out some statistics earlier in the broadcast, and you think about all the Grade 1 winners that have come through the Charlestown Classic. I believe 30 Grade 1 winners in the 8 previous runnings collectively. And then you throw in some of the other statistics where you have several Breeders' Cup Classic horses that have come here and raced here, and the number 1 ranked horses in the world have come here. I remember Game On Dude is a horse that comes to mind. Why has this race been so successful?
Good question. I think, number one, the hard work of our racing office. I mean, Charlie McIntosh is our racing secretary, does a phenomenal job hustling the race. I mean, gets out there. He goes to California. He's at the Big Cap. He's at Gulfstream this winter. You know, because even though it's $1.25 million, you know, you wouldn't think you'd have to hustle a race for $1.25 million. But, you know, we understand that we're a little different than Saratoga offering that money. I mean, we do have to get out there. And his hard work has probably meant the lion's share of the success to us. But, you know, we like the spot in the calendar. Oaklawn's race is a little bit more lucrative than it was when we first ran this race, you know, which has hurt a little bit. Dubai, honestly, going back to dirt, that might be one of the bigger things because, you know, you figure even if we don't get, of course, like Gunrunner doesn't come here if he doesn't go to Dubai, well, he's going to go to Oaklawn or Churchill for the Ali Sheba and scare other horses off in those spots, too, that are going to push horses our way. So it's kind of a trickle-down effect. But now there's a few factors, and, you know, there's just a few of them.
Well, it's become, you know, such a fixture on the calendar, and people actually point for it. They look for the race. And I think that a lot of that has to do with you, you know, not to blow smoke, but you really do a lot of hustling yourself, and you're on top of this race all year long. It's a 365-day deal for you to make sure people are aware of this race.
Yeah, no, it is, Jude. I mean, people think like a small venue, too, like putting the event on that, it's got to be easier. You know, you're not a big track like Belmont or Churchill, you know, all this stuff. For us, horses, patrons, everything, I mean, because you're so small, you can't hide anything in terms of the event. You know, a bigger track, you can kind of stick something in the corner and it doesn't affect everybody. But here, all of it has to work, you know, from the top down. You have to have 100%. You know, I remember at the Preakness when the air conditioning went down the one year, was it 99 or something like that?
Yeah.
And it affects the people in the grandstand. That's like 1% of the people at the track. Here, something like that happens, you know, 3/4 of the people are affected and it kind of blows up the event. So we've been lucky. We've had a lot of stuff go right for us, and knock on wood, that continues.
This is a division, the older horse division, which is we started the show talking about how it's kind of Arrowgate and everybody else. You have Gunrunner, who is a legitimate threat to Arrowgate on some level, I guess, but he's not on the same level as Arrowgate. So it's really Arrowgate and the rest of them. You think about the field that you've assembled, very good field here today. You were asked a question earlier this week that you told me about last night. I'm ticked. I didn't think of it myself, but it was a great question. It was referencing, would you rather have had Arrowgate come here and likely had a much less attractive betting race with a horse like Arrowgate, probably less handle on the race, or would you rather have Arrowgate stay away and get a contentious field and a better betting race? I thought it was a good question.
It's a very good question. I mean, honestly, if we had Arrowgate here, I don't care if we had a dime on the day, to be honest. You know, like, at the end of the day, this is a sport. Okay, and sports, brands, identities, longevity, I mean, they're built off, like, iconic moments. You know what I mean? I mean, the Yankees, just to use an example, I'm not a Yankee fan, of course. You know, you've got Reggie Jackson's three home runs. You got Babe Ruth pointing a shot, the Aaron Boone home run. Like, the Yankee brand and all that stuff, that's built off iconic moments. Like, the long-term success, longevity of it is built off that. It's not built off Bat Day or something like that where they advertise a promotion to get people to the track. That's totally separate. And, you know, we're trying to create similar kind of moments on a smaller scale, of course. I mean, if you had the best horse personally that I've seen in my lifetime out here, that's worth well more than one day, you know, $5 million in handle or something like that. I mean, think about American Pharoah. Would you think the value to the sport was more like the money that was bet in that race or the value of people watching him win? You know, I think the answer is definitely the latter. So, yeah, I would take Arrowgate and $0 over this field and $5 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, this field is very competitive, and it's a great betting race, and I think that's one of the things that makes the pick four so interesting is you can't single a horse. Sometimes you come here and you pretty much know who's going to win the race. I mean, you feel it in your bones. Today, it's a big question mark all the way around. So.
It is, especially that first race. The three-year-old race is kind of tough. I mean, and even the Philly race, even though I think there's only going to be five in there, I mean, there's two or three that look like they could win, and, you know, I've seen different people's plays online singling different horses in that race. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be difficult to you're going to have to go a little deep, I think, to have good coverage in that sequence.
We have to send out a good luck message to our colleague and good friend Jeff Bloom of Bloom Racing, who is going to be represented by his charge, Ultimate Holiday, in the Sugar Maple today. That's race number 10. It's the race preceding the Charlestown Classic. And you both, Eric and Jude, you both told me that's a really salty race.
Yeah, it's very tough. I don't know how many you want to use in there, but several.
Yeah, it's. I mean, for us, that came out pretty well for a $100,000 listed stake here. I mean, I have two or three graded placed horses in that race. I mean, it usually, you know, you get a lot of regional horses, but Todd sending Kinsley Kisses. I mean, of course, you know, the three-year-old sprints last year was very prominent, and the horse Miatori was third on the Charlestown Oaks here, which is our second graded event coming up in September. Then you throw in Jeff's horse and a couple local horses, I think, that are in there. Yeah, for $100,000, I mean, that's pretty good.
It's really interesting too that the two big races other than the classic are 7 furlongs, which I think is a great distance for people that might be a little standoffish about coming to a bull ring. It seems to hit a lot of horses in the head, kind of, you know, and a reason where somebody that has a sprinter says, well, I got enough speed and I can probably stretch there, or somebody that has a horse that runs a mile or something would say, you know, this horse could really have a good chance to get up if there's a speed duel. So it's really a perfect little assortment of races, I think.
It is, I mean, you can, people, it kind of plays a little bit like a two-turn mile, to be honest, even though it's a furlong shorter, so you kind of get those horses, you're right, and then you get the sprinters who, you know, hey, 6 or 7, that's their game, you get them too, and it's a fair distance with the run from the, you know, all the way up there to the turn, and it's, yeah, we find that to be our most popular distance by far.
What does Charlestown Classic Day in this particular race mean to racing in the state of West Virginia?
Well, look, I mean, we're nationally relevant, not that often, to be blunt, over the course of the year, you know, and this is probably the day and state now that we are the most relevant. You know, we knew several years ago we had to integrate this place into the national racing scene, and if you didn't, and it goes to building the identity brand and all that stuff like I talked about a few minutes ago, you see the trickle-down effect over the course of the year, like you do. It's not just contained in this day. When you create those moments, those events where people can build familiarity with your venue, you know, I can remember when Game on Dude or something like that you can associate with, it keeps people's eyes on the place for longer than another would. And it's resulted in massive handle gains that, for obvious reasons, benefit the track, benefit the horsemen. benefit the stature of the place and all that stuff. So, you know, I think we're grabbing a lot more at least positive headlines than we did maybe 10 years ago.
And racing doesn't stop with the Charlestown Classic here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. You've got some really big events coming up later in the year. Fill me in on those.
We do. We have the Race for the Ribbon coming up in September, the Charlestown Oaks. That's our second graded event. Like I said, that's a $350,000 grade three for three-year-old filly sprinters. I mean, we've had Groupie Doll. We've had Her Smile. We've had some really nice horses. We've had Hot Summer, who was a multiple grade winner, who I think that's her Gangster is actually her first foal to hit the track. He's in the Charlestown Classic today. So we got that. Then we have the West Virginia Breeders Classics in October on the 8th, or is it the 15th this year? And that's kind of the showcase day for the local horses and the local horsemen, some of whom are really good horsemen and have some really good horses. So we're looking forward to both those.
All right, 5:35 Eastern, the post time for this afternoon's Grade 2 Charlestown Classic, the ninth running, going to be heard right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network beginning 4 o'clock Eastern time. That's Sirius XM 93 and worldwide at horseracingradio.net. You also have some TV coverage associated with this year's race.
We do. As always, it'll be on TVG, as it's been the last several years this year. We have something exciting new. Fox Sports 2 is going to have it on as part of our package as part of the Naira package that they'll show with the main show emanating from Aqueduct. And that'll be on from 4 to 6 on Fox Sports 2. And we'll have Richie Migliori here doing some on-site work. And, you know, I think that's going to add a lot to the day as well.
It'd be very cool. Paul Espinoza will have the call. I think one of the best choices you ever made was abandoning the decision to bring Larry Colmus in to call this race, by the way.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'd pay quadruple for Paul. Larry. And Paul doesn't have the taste for wine that Larry does, so that also would put the company in the red.
Wait a minute. Now, we went to the steakhouse last night, and our good friend Dan Silver and I picked out a really nice bottle of wine, and you declined to purchase it for us.
Well, I'd seen that on the menu previously, so I checked, made sure to check with the sommelier, and that we were out of it. So I just didn't want to disappoint you guys, so that's why I put the Ziggy on it early.
Great stuff. Eric Zimney with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brother, I appreciate everything. Thanks for all your support, and thanks for having us back here again. Six years, and looking forward to more.
Yeah, thanks for coming, and thanks for your guys' support as well. You guys do a hell of a job with this.
All right, Eric Zimney, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. When we come back, we're going to take you down the road to the Kentucky Derby presented by Gainsway. You're going to hear from trainer Mark Cassie, who joined Anthony Stabile and jockey K-Mac earlier this week on Express Bet Radio. He talks about Classic Empire and looks ahead to the Kentucky Derby. Don't miss it. He was phenomenal. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a grade one winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only grade one winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10.5 lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come
in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back.
Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They run towards the top of the stretch, and Malagasy has a short lead. Conquest Mo Money comes right back at him and actually retakes the front. Untrapped is only a length from the front. Classic Empire 2.5 to make up Conquest Mo Money and Malagasy. They are right together to the outside in Untrapped. Here comes Classic Empire trying to run down the new leader, Malagasy. Malagasy, Conquest Mo Money. Here's the champ, Classic Empire. It is Conquest Mo Money, Classic Empire! The 81st Arkansas Derby goes to Classic Empire over Conquest Mo Money.
A pumped up Vic Stauffer with the call of the Arkansas Derby last weekend. Classic Empire getting up in the shadow of the wire to get the victory under jockey Julian Leperoux. And he did it for trainer Mark Cassie. And it now appears as if the juvenile champ is going to go postward as the favorite on the first Saturday in May, which, in case you're wondering, is indeed just 2 weeks from today, 14 days, 8 hours, 47 minutes, and 34 seconds away from the Run for the Roses.
Can't wait.
No, you sound thrilled.
We've had three countdowns today. That might be a record.
Well, people are tuning in and out. They're getting in and out of their cars. They might have missed it. We want to keep them
today's Saturday.
Up to date.
The Derby's on a Saturday. It's 2 weeks from now.
A lot of work to do.
That's all we need to know. Really.
Now and then. Well, this segment, our final segment of the program, is called The Road to the Kentucky Derby, and it is all presented by Gainsway. And, of course, you have the Illinois Derby today, which is not a points race, doesn't play into the Derby picture. Hollywood Handsome is the son of Tapazar, who stands at Gainsway. He's going to be one of the main players in that Illinois Derby, so keep an eye on Hollywood Handsome, the son of Gainsway stallion Tapazar. Mark Cassie is feeling pretty good going into this year's Kentucky Derby, and as well he should, because last week, as you just heard, his juvenile champion got back on track with that victory in the Arkansas Derby. And earlier this week, he took the time to visit with Anthony Stabile and Christina McManigal on Express Bet Radio. And here's what Mark had to say about that Arkansas Derby performance and looking ahead to the Kentucky Derby.
What's funny to me is so many people said, well, he's not going to handle the crowd. He's not going to do this or that. This horse has handled now, after Oakland, three huge crowds. Anybody that's been to Keeneland on a Saturday in the spring knows how big that is, and or in the fall. And he handled the Breeders' Futurity. He then went to California and handled Breeders' Cup. So, and he handled 65,000 people on Saturday with a bunch in the infield. I think he also handled a less than perfect trip. So, looking at, I think to me, there's four or five horses out there that are main contenders. And watching most of them, their race, you know, previous races, nobody's got the experience that we have. And our horse has proven he can get jostled around and still run good. So I definitely wouldn't trade him for anybody.
Mark, we talked about his quirks and his head. A horse like that, it's hard enough to win these type of races, as you know. But a horse like that, how do you keep his head straight? How do you keep him focused?
By changing things up. Exactly. When we got him to the farm, we trained him different ways each and every time. At Winding Oaks, they have two racetracks. We use both. We pulled him up in different places. We just kept him, kept his mind thinking. But he was just a different horse once he got to Ocala and settled in. And you know, we flew him out to Oaklawn, and I think the first day he was galloping, I think a horse got loose or started running kind of head on at him, coming the wrong direction. He didn't even faze him. So when he's focusing on his game, he's a brilliant horse, and he's not. I'm really not worried about the crowd bothering him. If the crowd's bothering him, then he has other issues. It's not that.
Talking with trainer Mark Cassidy, he has Classic Empire. And, you know, when you have a horse like Classic Empire, it's easy to forget. He has State of Honor, too, being pointed towards the 143rd Kentucky Derby. We'll talk about him in a minute. You got just about 2 weeks now between now and the first Saturday in May. Some other horses are going to have 4 or 5 weeks between the races. In your opinion, does that make your job easier to keep them happy for a shorter amount of time, or do you feel like because you missed some time earlier this year, maybe you have to do a little more with him to play catch-up, if you will?
My feeling, no. I actually like the 3 weeks. Like you said, others have to do more. I would be content if with galloping every day up to the race. I think probably that he went into the Arkansas Derby 90%, possibly. You know, he was fairly fit, but he's going to be a much fitter horse, in my opinion, for the Derby. So we don't really have to do anything. We just have to keep him happy and healthy, where some others have to, you know, work a little harder to keep their fitness. We don't have that worry. So I look at training horses as climbing a big mountain, and the top of the mountain is racing, and we're at the top of the mountain. So we're good. We're up there. You know, some of those others that have had a little bit of a layoff, they still have to climb up a little bit farther. We don't have to worry about that.
From the sounds of it, you said you want to, you'd be content galloping them into the race.
That's not necessarily. We're probably going to give him some kind of easy breeze. We haven't decided yet, but it'll come about a week out. But I can tell you this: if anybody's looking for something spectacular, they're not going to get it. You know, I said that we worked him 2 weeks out of the Arkansas Derby, and we put a very strong work into him the 2 weeks and 3 weeks out. And then I said, look, guys, we're going to come back and we're going to breeze him, but it's not going to be anything special. And it wasn't. He went a half and 50 and change and just kind of galloped along. you're going to see the same thing. He's not going to give you anything spectacular.
Mark, you mentioned some of the others will have to work a little bit harder to come back from layoffs and things, certain things they have to overcome. But who are you worried about?
I would say that probably Irish Warcry. I think him and, you know, always dreaming. Those guys have him. They know how to have him ready. They'll have him ready. Luckily, this year, the toughest guy there is out there to beat, unfortunately for him, lucky for the rest of us, is Bob. And it doesn't. I feel bad that Bob. Well, I don't really feel that bad. Bob's limited up. I love Bob. I have the utmost respect for him. And I'm kind of glad he doesn't have anything we have to run against.
That's trainer Mark Cassie talking about Classic Empire in the Arkansas Derby and then looking ahead to the Kentucky Derby. Jude, some interesting things there. And by the way, we'll remind people that you can hear our Express Bet radio program with Anthony and Christina McManigal, Jockey K-Mac, every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon, 3 to 6 Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 206. He talked about the shorter gap coming into the Kentucky Derby now, whereas others, a horse like, say, Gervin, who hasn't raced since the Louisiana Derby, Hence, who has been off since winning the Sunland Park Derby, horses like that are going to have to do a little bit more. Mark feels pretty confident that he's where he wants to be with Classic Empire. You agree?
Yeah, I mean, he's training the horse. He knows the schedule, but I think 3 weeks is great. I mean, I don't understand how people... And I've harped on this before, but this business of running horses four times a year, it really gets to me. I don't understand it at all. The idea is to race. And Cott Campbell actually had an article in the TDN the other day about that. And it's true. I mean, in the old days, people would race their horses and not train them so hard. Now it seems like everybody wants to train, and then run four times a year.
Yep.
And I don't understand it whatsoever. But... I'm closer to Cott Campbell's age than I am to some of these guys that are training now. So, But I think 3 weeks is perfect. The horse had a hard race. I mean, he was pretty tired after the Arkansas Derby from my eyes. He had a really hard race, and I think, a little freshening is good, and I think that's going to help him going in. I felt the same way about Gunavera. Gunavera ran... probably not at his best that day in the Florida Derby, but he put up a tremendous performance. And I thought, well, if this guy just takes it easy with him, he's going to be really tough on Derby Day. And it looks so far like Gunavera's training very well.
Right.
I thought it was very telling, though, that Cassie, and I'm reading too much into it, but he never mentioned McCracken when he talked about the horses he was afraid of. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting because I think McCracken – has a very...
It might have just been an oversight.
Yeah, it could have been.
Too.
I mean,
right.
You can't think
yeah.
of everything. You know,
right.
there's 20 horses and you got all this stuff going through, and he's got 300 to worry about.
Other horses. I think the Kraken's more dangerous than Irish Warcry, don't you?
I do, but that's just me. You know?
Right, it's my own personal opinion.
So he obviously, I mean, he gravitates to trainers. Trainers always do that anyway. They gravitate to trainers. Like, people say, who do you like? And I'll say, I like Graham Motion's horse.
Right.
You know what I mean? But Irish Warcry... And Graham, they're a winning Derby team. He mentioned Pletcher, you know, and Always Dreaming, Derby winning team. So there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, okay, so here's your top 10 in point standings right now, 2 weeks out from the Kentucky Derby. You have Gervin, Classic Empire, Gormley, IRAP, Irish Warcry. Then at number 6 is Thundersnow. Then you have Always Dreaming, Gunavera, Practical Joke, J-Boy's Echo. That's your top 10. McCracken's not even in the top 10, but he's going to be okay. He'll get into the field. He'll be in the top 20. No problems there. Out of those horses I just rattled off, most dangerous on that list.
Classic Empire. It's the best horse. Classic Empire has been the best horse since he was 2 years old. He's the best horse in this crop. There's no question in my mind. He is the best horse in this crop.
What do you make of a horse like Always Dreaming?
I think Always Dreaming is a contender. Right now, if I was going to play, trifecta box going into the Derby today, I would use Classic Empire. I would use McCracken. I would use Gunavera and I'll Always Dreaming. Those are my top four.
Okay, so I think McCracken is in the same boat as Classic Empire because Mark talked about Classic Empire maybe being 90% going into the Arkansas Derby. Wasn't 100% fully cranked, but he was pretty fit. I think Ian felt, when he joined us the morning of the Bluegrass Stakes, I think he felt the same way about McCracken because he had missed some time, just like Classic Empire was coming back in that big race, the grade one, grade two now, Bluegrass. And then he ends up running a credible race, right, but wasn't 100% fully cranked. So now Ian can take his time, just kind of get this horse a little bit more fit from where he was, and he'll be ready to peak on Derby Day. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, well, if you see the way he's been training, too, recently, you got to like the way McCracken looks. So I think he came out of that race. And he probably had a little bit easier go than Empire Maker had. Not Empire Maker, Classic Empire.
Classic Empire.
You know, he had a little bit easier race in the Bluegrass than Classic Empire had in the Arkansas Derby.
All right, all these questions going to be answered 14 days from today. Don't forget to head over to horseracingradio.net and check out our complete Derby Week schedule. We bring you nearly 20 hours of on-site Derby coverage here on the network. You'll want to make sure you join us all week long and all the way through Derby 143. Our thanks to Bob Hess Jr. for being with us this morning, along with trainer Ron Pellucci, who took the time to visit with Anthony Stabile on Express Bet Radio. Jason Service, Eric Zimney, and Mark Cassie for taking the time to be with us earlier this week as well. Don't forget, we're back this afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern Time, Sirius XM 93. HorseRacingRadio.net is where you can stream us, Bluetooth us, whatever it might be. It's all there for you. 4 to 6 Eastern, our coverage of the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic. For our producers, Lee Delapina and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios. For Sean C., Chauncey with social media, and for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. Hey, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.